Hey everyone, welcome to 10 Movies, the podcast where we dig into the work of one actor through 10 of their films. I'm Hemel Javeri, and with me, as always, is co-host Brian Minter.
Hello, Hemel. Hello, America.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you this evening?
I'm good. On this season of 10 Movies, we're talking about Jennifer Lopez. And this week, we are going to talk about the charmingly low-stakes 2004 rom-com, Shall We Dance?
You know, I'm glad that we watched Shall We Dance and are talking about it because, as you will recall, and our listeners may recall as well, last week we watched U-Turn, which
yes.
just sanded our eyeballs down to the stumps, and the week before we watched Zhili, which lives up to its billing as the worst movie ever made. And my fear was that we were becoming one of those podcasts about movies where they just watch bad movies and make fun of them.
Yeah.
Which I don't knock, but I feel like ours is a higher calling. And I felt like we had been really trending downward into becoming a bad movie podcast against our wishes.
Yeah. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that we went through the deep, dark shallows of Jennifer Lopez's career for the past two episodes. And like you, I was really starting to question whether or not we had made the right choice. Like, I was really I was down on J-Lo. Like, I thought that she was not a great actress. I was starting to question every single choice that she had ever made. But I think Shall We Dance brings us to sunnier pastures, maybe?
Well, that remains to be seen. For those who do not recall, which has got to be a lot of people, because this is not a particularly lauded film, what happens in the movie Shall We Dance?
Well, first of all, Shall We Dance stars Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez, our girl.
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere, who is not as handsome as you think he's going to be, right? He's an odd-looking man in some ways.
Let's talk about that in a second.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at his picture. It just struck me.
And Susan Sarandon. So yeah, it's a all-star cast with Bobby Cannavale and Stanley Tucci. One of my favorites.
Stanley Tucci, not Bobby Cannavale.
All right. The plot is this is a remake of a 1996 Japanese film.
I think so. Who knows?
We did so much research for this. Richard Gere plays a middle-aged white guy, John Clark, who is relatively happy with his life, right?
He's having a midlife crisis.
He's having a little bit of a midlife crisis. He's a lawyer and he does wills for a living, but he's happily married and he's got two great kids.
Nice house in the burbs, kids, not beautiful wife that he's happy with, no reason to complain.
Exactly. And that is one of the key points, is that he doesn't really have any reason to complain. He's got all of the comforts of a good life, except, you know, something is missing. He's not as happy as he could be. And then one day he is commuting home from work and he sees Jennifer Lopez just standing there looking beautiful in the window of a dance
beautiful
studio.
Beautiful and pensive and mysterious.
Yeah, like she's just gorgeous and beckoning to him. And it starts off this chain of events where he wanders into the ballroom dance studio, starts taking dance lessons, and lo and behold, discovers that he has a passion for dancing.
And there's a whole community of lovable misfits dancing their hearts out.
And they end up in this like ballroom dance competition, and Richard Gere is again enjoying life at the end of it. He has worked through his midlife crisis malaise.
Yeah, I think that's right. Did you enjoy the film Shall We Dance? You seem to have.
I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed it compared to the trash that we have had to watch.
Compared to Zhili and U-Turn, it was fantastic. It was a cinematic tour de force.
So one of the reasons we picked Shall We Dance was because it looked like completely unobjectionable.
We were so beaten down and I dare I say degraded by the experience of watching U-Turn.
And this is an interesting film, I think, in Jennifer Lopez's career, because she's definitely not the star of it.
No, I feel like the movie forgot Jennifer Lopez was in the movie, which is one of my major problems with it. But I do think this is right in her wheelhouse, right?
Yes.
Like, it's kind of a romantic comedy, it's dancing, it's Jennifer Lopez-y stuff.
Tell me, did you like the film?
You know, I couldn't really recommend it to people.
Really?
Yeah, I think it
had. Why?
I don't want to get too ranty here, because I know you like to keep a lid on the ranting.
I'm going to give you 14 seconds to rant.
All right, put 14 seconds on the clock. I felt this movie had a lot of, like, the setting and the material, like, it's very charming, right? There's this little dance studio, and, like, it's you want to go there and, like, learn to dance and meet all these, like, fun people and share their... So, like, the setting and the backdrop, like, this little weird, insular, lovable community of ballroom dancers in Chicago is really welcoming, right? Mm-hmm. But the story of Richard Gere's character and Jennifer Lopez's character is so it's like a case of screenwriting malpractice. Like, it's
so
here's the problem with Jennifer Lopez's character, right? And Richard Gere's character. I think he's supposed to be mild-mannered,
mm-hmm.
but he's such a cipher that you don't even know why he's doing what he's doing in any given moment. And Jennifer Lopez is she's a dance teacher at the studio. He sees her, and you're not quite sure. Does he desire her? Does she just symbolize a different world or a different life? He goes in, and there she is, this beautiful, mysterious woman that he's seen from afar in the flesh. He's going to learn dancing from her, but he doesn't.
He learns it from
an old lady.
From someone else.
So the whole movie, Jennifer Lopez is like, in the frame, like sitting on a chair, or like checking her messages, while Richard Gere and all his dancing friends learn to dance from a little old lady. Why in the name of Christ wasn't Jennifer? So then, at the end of the movie, Jennifer Lopez's character, she goes to the big ballroom dance show, and she's like, "I'm so proud of you guys," and she writes Richard Gere a letter, right? Like,
yes.
She's gonna move away, and he feels bad about, he kind of left his wife out of this new part of his life, and so his friends are gonna have a big party for Jennifer Lopez, and like, "Oh, Richard Gere, you gotta come to the party." He's like, "No, I can't come to the party for no real good reason." So Jennifer Lopez writes him a letter. And he opens
it's
the letter.
2004.
He opens the letter, and we get this Jennifer Lopez voiceover, and we're seeing all these scenes from her life. And it turns out she was this young person, and dance saved her, and she had this man she loved him, and he loved her, and he was the dance partner. But they pushed each other too hard, and they went to England, and they failed in the competition, and their relationship was destroyed, and she'd lost her love of dance, and she comes back, and finally it's rekindled. But none of that's in the movie. We just find out this whole rich story of this character in the last 10 minutes of the movie from a letter. Why in the name of Christ didn't you put all that stuff in the movie?
Because it doesn't matter.
Yes, that's the whole point of her character was all this stuff.
You're going to wake the neighbors up.
Emil's making the be quiet gesture because we're on her patio because of the pandemic. And I think I exceeded my time allotted for ranting, but that made me so mad.
That made you 90 seconds mad.
It was just so bad.
Seconds.
Bad choices, screenwriters.
No, I think you're totally wrong.
What?
Yeah, I think you're totally wrong. I don't think you understood this movie. I don't think you actually appreciated it at all.
Well, this is something.
I think that I loved it, actually. I'll be honest with you.
You loved it? You're just saying that.
No,
you're trying
I'm
to
not.
Get my goat.
I swear to God, I'm not trying to get your goat. I'm not going to go on a 90-second long rant about it. Like,
no,
I
nor
can
should
rant.
You.
I'm,
it's boring.
I can rant about things. I actually really liked how low stakes it was. It did not bother me at all that the Jennifer Lopez storyline was tertiary to everything else that was going on, because otherwise it would have been a totally different movie.
Like, but it should have been that different movie.
I don't think so, because then it's basically a sports movie, right? Like, it's basically like Bring It On, but with ballroom dancing, in terms of we were in a competition and then I lost, and then I had to take some time off to regain myself, and then I went back and actually made it. Like, you wanted to watch a sports movie.
No, you did.
You wanted to watch a sports movie.
It's the relationship.
No, you wanted to watch a sports movie, and what you got was a mild parable about middle-aged married angst,
very
which
mild.
You did not want to see.
Well, so the married angst. Let's talk about the married angst.
Let's talk about it.
So Susan Sarandon plays the wife.
Okay.
And she does. Her husband is disappearing. Like, every Wednesday night, he's just gone. And he
yeah,
won't tell
he's
her why.
Just gone.
And she hires a private detective. And so it turns out she thinks he's having an affair, but he's not. He's just ballroom dancing.
Right.
And she's like, and she's a little hurt. Right. Because why couldn't you bring me into your life in this way? And there's this scene. I feel like this is the ultimate scene in the movie, right? Like,
it's the confrontation scene?
No. It's a scene where, so she and the daughter come and they see him at the dance competition. She's very hurt, right?
Yeah.
And he feels terrible about what he did. So then there's all the dance people are having a party and they're like, "Richard, you gotta come." He's like, "No, I can't come. I feel weird about it." But what Susan Sarandon, the wife, does, she leaves him a note. She's like, "Hey, I'm going to be working late. You should go to that party." And she leaves him a present, right? She got him a tuxedo and dancing shoes. And you think, oh, he's going to put on the dancing outfit and he's going to go to the party. But he doesn't. What does he do?
Well, he does go to the party, but first he goes to see his wife and has a little sweet moment with her in the Saks Fifth Avenue where she works.
Yeah, he chooses his wife.
Yes.
And then he says, like, "I want you to be part of my dancing world."
Yeah.
But here's the problem with that. So that could have been, that's the heart of the movie. his relationship with his wife and what he's going through as a person.
I don't think that's the heart of the movie, but go ahead.
But when he goes to the, so then he's like, I want, he chooses her, but that choice has no weight because this other thing that I think was just on a dry erase board in the writer's room somewhere was that he's got this attraction to Jennifer Lopez, but we never see that. So him choosing his wife over Jennifer Lopez doesn't land at all.
No,
no,
no, no. You are looking at this all
wrong. No, wait, wait.
Wrong.
Did you watch Shall We Dance with Richard Gere?
This is crazy because you're looking at this all wrong because one of the reasons I really, really liked it, and you know I have a thing about movies where men and women can just be friends.
You right? like that. But I don't think this movie is doing that.
I know. It's not doing that. I know. It's not doing that. And the reason that I really did like it is because it's showing you that... it's not a binary choice. Like, he did not have to make this binary choice. Like, what you were talking about earlier, which is that she's kind of a mysterious character, and she has to be mysterious because she's not real to him. She's just a projection of all these things that he thinks he wants, right? Like, he thinks he is kind of bored with his wife. He loves her. He loves their family, but he's bored, and he thinks he wants this, like, mystical, magical, sexy ballroom dancer that Jennifer Lopez is. So he's drawn to the ballroom studio, and then he realizes, oh shit, this is a real
right.
person.
It's actual dancing.
And then he basically tries to make a move on her. He's like, hey, can we get dinner? And she shuts it down hard.
Yeah, she's just like, you fuck yourself, Richard.
Yeah, she's like, you're either here to dance or you can leave. Like, you're not here for me. And so he realizes, okay, I think I actually do love dancing. So he realizes this whole other part of himself that does not come from validation from Jennifer Lopez, right? Like, it comes from exposing this whole other part of him, which is so much more important than the same old, I have to choose between the hot girl and I have to choose between my wife. Like, that's the reason I loved it, is because there's never really a choice. Their marriage is never seriously in danger. You know that he always loves
right.
her.
She thinks it's in, the wife thinks it's in danger, but then she learns that it's really not.
Yeah, and she learns very quickly. Like, she learns within the first one third of the movie that actually he is just dancing, which is weird. Their marriage is never in danger. There's no choice that has to be made because the movie is telling you it's okay to have both things. Like, I had written this down for us to talk about later, but we're talking about it now. It's okay to have a crush. This is one of the main reasons I love this movie, is like, that can be really invigorating. Like, he's not going to leave his wife. He's not going to leave the beautiful family that he has, and he doesn't want to. But this, like, great thing that he has, this connection that he has with that woman, is also adding something really vital and important to his life. And you can talk about whether or not that
I'm making faces.
You are making faces, which is why I keep cutting you off.
That's all right. I deserve to be cut off.
But that is, it's never in danger, but it's also not judging him for having this, like, great connection with this woman. I think that's so good.
But it's all kind of boring, right?
It's like, not. It's not boring.
Well, okay, so often we talk about the cast, and I don't think we've really jumped right into the heart of things.
We
so
did.
I don't think we need to go through the cast, but I do want to talk about Richard Gere before we talk about Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, let's talk about Richard
Because all
Gere.
These things you're saying... Like, Richard Gere is the main character here.
Yes.
Like, he's so removed and restrained and distant that all this stuff you're saying that's going on, I think maybe that was supposed to be going on, but I don't get any of that from Richard Gere.
I can't believe we watched the same movie.
Did you think Richard Gere was conveying all of these depths that you're talking about right now,
or did you
read the synopsis somewhere that was supposed to be happening?
I'm telling you, look, I watched this movie and I was like, not excited about it, because I was like, I don't really like Richard Gere anymore, because he was great. Like, this is peak Richard Gere, right? Like, he was a leading man, rom-com,
A-list kind of guy back then.
And then I watched this movie and I'm like, oh shit, this is why he was so popular. He's got this, like, charming befuddledness.
Is he charming in this? He seems so absent.
He's not doing a lot of acting. Like, he's just being Richard Gere, and that is charming. So you didn't like his performance at all?
No, I didn't. I thought his performance was really weak because he was so... I think he was deliberately trying to be mild-mannered and, like...
A little
schlubby. Fade into the background and, like, you know, so, like, you know, restrained.
Yeah.
But, like you said earlier, he comes in and he's got a crush, right?
Right.
But, like, I don't even really know, like, did he go in because he saw her and he wanted her? Was it desire? Was it... physical, or was, like, what was it? Why did he go in there?
It's mysterious. Why?
But don't make it mysterious for me. I'm watching the movie.
Okay, stop. Have you ever fallen in love with a random stranger? You don't know who they are. have never seen them, but like just passing.
Not right? in love. No, I'm interested or attracted.
Okay, I won't speak for you. I will speak for myself in terms of I had a commuter crush, right? Like when I was working in
just
downtown.
Just like Richard Gere and Shall We Dance.
Yes, I had a commuter crush. So I was like, oh, having that crush, whatever drew him into the studio, right? Like whatever takes him into the studio, whether it's physical desire, whether it's just vaguely mysterious, it's a crush. And it sparks this great other thing inside of him. And I love that the movie is saying you can have all of it. Like, and there's no judgment attached to it.
So I think you're right about what is happening. I think you're right about the story here.
Right.
But I just didn't think it was well dramatized, right? Like if you watch the first 15 minutes,
right,
where he sees Jennifer Lopez and he goes in, and then you watch the last 15 minutes where Jennifer Lopez says, it was through teaching you to dance that I remember my own love of dance.
Okay.
And you were asked what happened in the middle, you would say, oh, Jennifer Lopez taught this guy to dance. But she didn't. She just was nearby while someone else taught him to dance.
There needed to be like two more scenes of Jennifer Lopez teaching Richard Gere how to dance. They don't have
enough
of them.
They had 100 dance teacher scenes. Why didn't Jennifer Lopez do it?
I'll give you that much, but I think that it still worked for me just fine because she needs to be mysterious and be like on the periphery versus them getting to know each other really well.
Well, let's talk about Jennifer Lopez, the point of our podcast.
Before
not just yet.
We talk about Jennifer Lopez, I do want to shout out Stanley Tucci and Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, you love the Tucci.
I love Stanley Tucci. And I say this because Pyle and Gale love Stanley Tucci, so if I did not love him, then I would be in
So Stanley
trouble.
Tucci plays a, this is an odd thing. And Stanley Tucci's always got good comic energy. And he plays this co-worker of Richard Gere's.
He plays like a lawyer, Link.
Yeah, he's another lawyer. And they're not particularly close, but then Richard Gere realizes that this guy, Link, is also into ballroom dancing. And he's so like embarrassed of it that he wears this comically ridiculous outfit.
Yeah.
And at the end, he realizes like, oh, I too can, you know, can just be myself and dance. And there's this scene in the office when they're like, oh my God, Stanley Tucci's a ballroom dancer. What a loser. And he comes out. He's like, oh man, you guys suck. I'm so mad. And Richard Gere's like, you leave him alone. But people don't treat ballroom dancing. It's not like he plays Magic the Gathering or goes to Ren Fairs. Like,
it's
ballroom
really
dancing is odd, but it's not.
One of the weirdest conceits in this movie that doesn't really work is kind of the shame and embarrassment.
Yeah, that it's just like shameful underground thing.
That's attached to ballroom dancing. Even in 2004, that it is somehow unmasculine to be taking dance lessons. That is a thing, one, that hasn't aged well at all. And two, I don't even think was a reality.
Yeah, I don't think that was true. Like, if you're like, hey, I'm really into like being a good dancer, like that's not uncool. Like anybody would be like, like, it's an odd thing to do. It's not common. But if you told someone you're in a ballroom dancing, they'd be like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah, and it's super weird because there's a lot of, like, gay panic in the film as well, which even for 2004 is horrible and dated.
The Bobby Cannavale character. Is that how she's named? Cannavale?
Yeah.
That sounds very
Where Bobby Cannavale,
feisty.
It's like, starts off as like super macho and talking about banging
no
women.
Homo, don't touch me.
And then in the end turns out to be gay.
That was just dumb.
Fine.
Pointless.
Just dumb and pointless.
Why was he gay at the end?
It doesn't make any sense. So yeah, definitely some missteps in there. But I'm ready to move on to talk about Jennifer Lopez.
Yes, and I didn't mean, I thought Stanley Tucci was actually fun. I enjoyed his scenes in the movie.
He's a great dancer.
Yeah, he also is a really good dancer. Dude's in great shape.
Okay, Jennifer Lopez, she plays Paulina.
Paulina, right. And, you know, we hadn't seen the movie prior to watching it for the podcast. We were tricked by the marketing to believe that she was a major character in the film rather than, you know, just off to the side for most of the movie.
She barely has any lines, too.
Yeah, she has, like, a couple scenes with Richard Gere, and then she writes him a big letter. And a lot of, like, the action revolves around her, right? Like, he goes there because of her, and all the other people are kind of, in, you know, in a hot lady who is mysterious and is kind of unfriendly will always attract many, many dudes. And so everyone's like fascinated by her. And at the end, it's all about this big party they're throwing for her. But she herself is not, like, Paulina is rarely present for any of this stuff.
Yeah, she's not really given a lot to do. Like you said, the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie fleshes out her character in a way that the movie doesn't.
A whole giant movie about her that we didn't get to see.
There's a whole sequel, like Shall We Dance 2, which is just about Paulina. But the movie is not about Paulina. It is about Richard Gere's character's relationship to Paulina, right? It is not really about her. It is about how he perceives this woman to be and the effect that she has on his life. She's kind of like a you know, if we're using the magical Negro trope, like that's what she is. She's like
the magical
Latina ballroom dancing princess that kind of sprinkles fairy dust into his life. And then she moves on to England, because if she were to stay, she would be a threat, right? She would be a threat to their marriage because she's super hot.
But not really, because I never got the sense that he wanted her or wanted to be with her. Like, he's so passive.
Yeah, they have that one scene, right? It's the night before the competition.
There's like a hot dance scene. Yeah.
Right. There's one dance scene where it's the night before the competition, and Jennifer Lopez teaches Richard Gere, like, how to really dance. And they have this, like, one insane attraction, but nothing happens. Like, it's the chemistry is just dancing chemistry.
So you referred to her as the magical Negro character. And, you know, another thing we saw in a lot of 90s, like, you know, quirky, funny comedies was the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, right?
Yeah.
Like, a woman whose character is not actually a person. They just represent all of this thing to a dude character. So I will say that Jennifer Lopez delivers a strong enough performance that she elevates herself. She elevates Paulina beyond like just that like narrative driver, right? You
right.
do believe that she is, like, she's very unfriendly at first. And again, the movie neglects to really explain why. But later, when they do give you the key to the character at the very end, you're like, oh, that's why she was really frosty and unfriendly. And then later at the big dance competition, she's so like open and excited. Like, again, the movie forgot to tell us why that was happening until it all happened later. But, like, when looking back, you're like, oh, Jennifer Lopez, Paulina as a character is actually very real and very believable. So, again, Jennifer Lopez is a really strong actor
yeah.
when she's given things to do.
Nobody in movies really knows how to use Jennifer Lopez. Like, this Paulina character is really close to the wedding planner. She's kind of, even though she's, like, incredibly hot and a great dancer, she's a little buttoned up. She's really reserved. It's none of the stuff that J-Lo is generally known for, right? It's got some of the stuff that we usually think about, toughness.
Paulina's tough.
She is tough, but she's not tough in, like, the typical J-Lo way.
She's not gritty tough. She's,
yeah.
She's almost brittle tough.
Sex appeal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's always, you know, she's dancing. She's
yeah.
twirling.
She's like, but it is not the overt sex
yeah,
appeal.
Yeah, she's not like hot Latina, sexy Jennifer Lopez that she sometimes is.
Right, she's definitely more beautiful than sexy.
Yeah, she's a ceramic ballerina on the mantelpiece.
Sass? No sass.
No
in this
sass.
Character.
Yeah, this character is zero sass.
No sass. She's competent. She's very good. Like, Jennifer Lopez is, every role she plays, her character is always exceedingly competent.
You know, but I think it's like, again, you know, I think Jennifer Lopez is strong enough of an actress that she can be this kind of like brittle ice princess
yeah.
who has, you know, this is, you know, churning depths beneath her. So until we got to that letter scene at the very end, I wasn't really enjoying Jennifer Lopez at all because
oh.
her character seemed very inconsistent to me, right?
Okay.
She's pointlessly angry, and then for no apparent reason, She's everybody's buddy. And later, and they give you the key again at the very end to unlock all that mystery.
Those are all flaws within the writing, so I don't think you can blame her for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's totally a screenwriting problem.
But the other problem here is that these movies, especially a whole bunch that we have seen in the through this podcast, it's all trying to get J-Lo to fit into a system of like how leading women should be or how viewers want her to be versus letting Jennifer Lopez like kind of play naturally to her strengths. Nobody is writing for Jennifer Lopez.
Yes, you're right.
Everyone is always trying to put her into boxes that they think she needs to fit in, but nobody is writing for her character. That's, I think, is why her film career is so frustrating to watch. Is like,
yes, it's very frustrating to watch all
because,
these movies.
Because she's, like you said, she's really good, but they keep putting her in these roles that she just does not fit in, and they keep making her do things or they're badly written plot points and it reflects poorly on her, even though it's not really her fault.
Yeah, I don't even know that it's, yeah, I don't even know that it's like, it's more that, yeah, she's taking these roles that aren't particularly gratifying and don't really like show her depth and her range. Like,
Shall We Dance is just another example of what I assume is a really frustrating period in her career of you could have given me a ton more to do, and instead it's Susan Sarandon walking around with terrible hair and like really shitty clothes, even though she works at Saks Fifth Avenue.
Was her hair that bad, Susan?
Her hair's, just comb your hair, Susan.
So the Susan Sarandon
character, Susan, comb your hair
was another problem because the wife is not really part of the main story.
I almost feel like with the movie, they're like,
oh shit, it's Susan Sarandon. We got to give her some stuff to do.
Yeah.
So there's this whole like unrelated side plot where she hires a detective and he maybe is kind of attracted to her and he's got like a wacky Thoreau quoting assistant.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we've already been given this whole world.
The assistant, by the way, is Nick Cannon.
And he's funny and he's cute and the private detective is interesting and Susan Sarandon is great. But we've already been given this whole universe of lovable, quirky people. I don't need a whole second universe of them. Like, spend that time with the main set of lovable, quirky people.
It's so funny. All the stuff that you hate about this film is stuff that
I
really
like.
Did you
like all the Private Eye stuff?
I loved all of it. I loved how low stakes all of it was. And like, yeah, going to a private eye seems like an extreme overreaction to just asking your husband, hey, what's going on?
But they play it as comedy. Those are comic scenes.
Yeah, it's a comic scene. And the thing is that maybe I'm so scarred from what else we've watched that I was like, oh, God.
Your expectations were so lowered.
I was expecting like grisly, horrible Private Eye, or I was expecting the infidelity plot line to drag on through the entire film, which I did not want. And it didn't. It wrapped up really quickly, right? Like, there's no real angst.
Yeah, there's no real tension in it.
No, there's no real tension in it. And I actually found the lack of tension, like, pleasantly surprising. Everybody is nice. Everybody's friendly. Everybody is attracted to each other in various ways. And all of that is okay without having to like pass judgment on it. Like, the private eye is kind of attracted to Susan Sarandon. She knows
right,
it.
He wants to meet her in a bar.
But he doesn't take it too far. He just lets that attraction be. And I love that one of the underlying currents is that you can be attracted to men and women in a lot of different ways, and it's not threatening. It does not need to be threatening to your marriage, and it can actually be good for you.
Yeah, he was kind of at the bar scene. He's offering her without saying it. Like, yeah. Hey, maybe we should.
He's propositioning her. I think he's just like, you're an attractive woman, and she's like, thank you.
He's not actively propositioning her, but yeah. I think, like, again, that scene is well done.
Yeah,
like, it's clear that, like, if she were to show any interest in him, that's exactly where he would like it to go.
Yeah.
But as you say, she doesn't.
Like, yeah, and he's fine with it. Like, he lets it be.
Yeah, he's disappointed, but it's fine. But so you said the movie was small stakes a couple times, and I think it is, but it's so small stakes that it didn't really interest me.
Mm.
I feel like you have maybe PTSD, both from recent current events and the movies we've been watching.
I will
and
tell you, yes. Just,
you're so relieved to not have anyone trying to jangle your nerves or shock you or destroy democracy. You're like, oh, let's let these people kind of bounce around for a couple hours, and then they'll go to a show, and it'll be fine.
So... it is very small stakes, and I think you're partially right. We're coming off of
Give
the
election. Give me some stakes, though. Make something matter a little.
Hold on. I'm getting to why this might not be so small stakes.
All right. Okay. Let's hear it.
It is small stakes in the sense that it really is just about, do I win a ballroom dancing competition, or I'm really attracted to this mysterious woman. But to me, the larger stakes are there's that one scene where Susan Sarandon and Richard Gere finally have their little face off, and it's not even that intense, where she's like, I'm not upset that you're dancing, I'm upset that you lie to me, which is fair.
Yeah, it was a very like marriage kind of fight.
Yeah, it's like a very married people fight. Throughout the entire film, you're kind of made to think that he's embarrassed about dancing. That's why he hasn't told his wife. But he reveals that he's like, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I was not happy. And that to me was really powerful. Like, especially if you are in, like, we are very comfortable in our lives, comfortable in your relationships. It is a huge thing to admit, this is not enough for me. I love you, but it is still not enough for me. So in that sense, the stakes are really high because they mean a lot to him. That's
I really
huge.
Like the movie that you watch.
How did you not see this?
Well, like, as you said, like, I think you're right, right? These are the things that are in the movie, but they're buried so, like, you're right. So that scene, you're right, when he says to her, like, yeah, he's been kind of sneaking around the whole time. You're like, why is he just not tell his wife? And then he says, yeah, like, I couldn't, like, our life is so nice. I felt bad, you know, wanting something more.
Yeah.
But again, you get that so late in the film, and I don't feel like, if you had asked me for the bulk of the film, like, why is he like hiding this?
Yeah.
I couldn't have really told you the answer.
And that's one of the frustrating parts of the film.
Yeah, the film is always burying the motives of its characters, mostly Richard Gere, so deeply. And the thing you're saying, where like this, what this movie is about is like these currents of attraction between people, and they're okay, and they don't have to be like high stakes and dramatic and destroy lives. I think that's, I like that idea, and I can see how this movie is about that. I just wish it had been a little clearer to me that that's what it was about.
The other thing, though, is it also goes against traditional romantic comedies, right? Because traditional romantic comedies are all about the tension and all about will they get together or won't they get together. There's none of that. You know that Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez are not going to sleep together. You know that he's not going to leave his wife, but it's all about attraction versus like that binary of men and women pushing and pulling against each other. It's just men and women being able to exist and be attracted to each other. Like, it's such a revelation to me.
Yeah, it doesn't have any room, even from the moment one, it does not have a romantic comedy kind of energy or tone at all.
I think, I mean, to me, this is a movie about how having a crush is a really, really great thing. And I don't think we make enough films about why crushes are good. And I don't care if you're married. I'm just going to say it. I don't care if you're married. I think you can have a crush. If you're single, having a crush is the greatest thing in the entire world. Crushes are awesome.
Yeah, I like a good crush. Maybe I just needed one of the many, many, many supporting characters to like spell these things, to look at the camera, like say what was happening.
You needed just a big flashing neon sign.
I need someone to be like, she's into that guy, but nothing's going to happen, and that's all right.
Very quickly, do you have a movie MVP?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
And we haven't mentioned her at all.
Oh, right. Okay. Who is it?
Lisa Ann Miller.
She plays Bobby. She plays Bobby. Okay. So, that's who I thought
this
it was.
Crazy, brassy, wig-wearing, like, Chicago working-class white lady who, you know, and I always like a good supporting character who is, like, lightly sketched, but you get a sense for what they're all about. And she's just, like, she's really abrasive, and they're all kind of afraid of her, but she's so lovable. She just, like, she's not a teacher. She just goes to the studio, and she's hanging out, and she's training. You get a sense of her kid, and she's got a kind of tragic backstory. She loves dancing. She gets embarrassed. She gets up again. She's so good. I loved every scene with her in it.
I'm glad you said that, because I was worried that you were going to hate on her, because I liked her a lot, too. Like,
why would you think I wouldn't like her?
I don't know. You didn't like the movie.
Well, I didn't. It had nothing to do with her. She was great in it.
I thought she was great in it. I'm glad you picked her as movie MVP.
Who was your MVP?
Stanley Tucci.
Oh, Stanley Tucci.
It's got to be Stanley Tucci. He does so much work. He dances so hard in this film. His self tanner is amazing. His wig is amazing.
He's got false teeth. He's wearing at one point.
He's all over the place.
The dancing is terrific, right? Like
dancing's terrific.
I took a ballroom dance class once in college and took one again getting ready for my wedding as one is forced to do if you're a straight man. So I feel like I can at least recognize quality ballroom dancing. Like, all of the characters seem to really know what they're doing.
The only other thing I would mention is what I think is a little subversive in romantic comedies is the idea that your romantic partner is not going to be your ultimate source of happiness. Like, you cannot lean on this one person for everything. Like, he is in love with his wife. He loves her.
He's
really happy. But he still has to find this group of people and find this other passion outside of his married life that is great for him.
And you're saying in most romantic comedies, it's just very, like, soulmate, best friend forever thing.
Right,
and then it
just ends. And this is very clearly saying you can be deeply in love with somebody, but you are going to need something else.
So you feel this is a morally sophisticated story in many ways.
I don't know if it's morally sophisticated. I think it just has a more nuanced and mature approach to happiness and fulfillment.
I agree with all that. Again, I would like to watch the movie that you saw rather than the one that I saw, because it seems much richer.
Before we wrap up, I think we need to do some listener feedback. We are 8 episodes into
ding, 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 reader mail.
We're 8 episodes into the season, and we have neglected to shout out all of our awesome listeners.
You know what a lot of big money podcasts have? They have little different music or little bumpers for different segments.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
What if we just say ding, 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 reader mail every time we do reader mail?
I think that's great. Let's just do ding, 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 ding.
So what if you got in there? Dip into the reader mail bag over there, Hemel.
I would like to first start off by shouting out Dan Raphael, who is our friend from JMU, lives in Brooklyn.
Right. Shout out. Dan, how you doing?
Dan.
Good to hear from you.
All right. Exactly what Dan said was, Brian has no idea what he's talking about. Timothy Oliphant is a sexy, sexy man.
I don't know. He's fine, you know?
So Murph, our friend Murph, who lives in Tromsø, Norway, also said that you were wrong about Timothy Oliphant. So that's two people that are against you.
So Murph also commented on our 10 Movies Twitter feed that he appreciated your reference to Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Thank you, Murph.
Parker, it was like an off-brand Ferris Bueller? Is that what it was? It was a movie?
That's a very good way to describe it. It wasn't a movie. It was like a show on Fox. All right. I also want to shout out Meredith B., who is on Twitter at @OhHiMeredith, which is a great handle. And she says that we're exactly right about Made in Manhattan, and that we explained every reason why she likes this film, and that it is the urtext.
Yeah, so she agreed that the Made in Manhattan character was the Jennifer Lopez character, the sassy working class Latina maid with a heart of gold.
So thank you, Meredith. Thank you, Murph. Thank you, Dan, for hanging out with us and listening to us, and for the rest of you.
Well,
remember to rate and review us.
Yeah, I was going to say, for those of you who listen to the podcast but have not rated and reviewed us on the podcast listening platform of your choice, you get no thank yous and you get no shout outs. I will need to see a receipt of your rating and reviewing before you can receive thank yous and shout outs.
So we will see you guys next week. And next week we will be talking about...
I don't know. What are we going to talk about next week? Oh, Hustlers! We're going to watch people love it. It came out just last year. It got lots of rave reviews.
Yeah, we are no longer going to be doing Jennifer Lopez movies from 20 plus years ago. We're going to be doing one from 2019.
Well, because we got to watch a good Jennifer Lopez movie. We're really coasting into the wind here.
And it's about strippers. So it's going to be great. All right. We'll see you guys next week.